Just lift our hands and praise Him this morning. Amen. Consume me, Lord, with the fire of Your Spirit. Just consume. Welcome you to the service this morning. Pray that you'll just open your hearts and let the Holy Spirit come in and just wash all that stains that you picked up through the week. Amen. You finally made it. We're going to give God the glory this morning. Hallelujah. Why don't we sing that song, Here I Am to Worship?
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Light of the world, You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see, yes, beauty that made this heart adore Thee, and hope of a life spent with You. Oh, here I am to worship, here I am to bow. Glorious in heaven above. Humbly You came to the earth You created. All for love's sake became poor. Amen. Well, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know, and I'll never know. much it costs to see my sins upon that cross. Well, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins upon that cross. Oh, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Oh, here I am to say, gonna say that you're my God. Well, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Sing it again now. Well, here I am to worship. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Well, you're worthy. Altogether wonderful to me. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Why don't you give him a hand this morning? Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing that song, We Fall Down, We Lay Our Crowns. Amen. He is worthy. We fall down and we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. Holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 we cry. His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, holy. Oh, we cry, holy, 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 church, we cry. Sing it again now. Oh, with all your hearts, praise Him. We fall down, lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Your greatness, mercy and love at the feet of my Jesus. Holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, oh Lord, your holy is the Lamb. Praise you. Hallelujah. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, yes. I I want to see you, oh glory. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, yes. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, oh. See you, Lord. I want to see you. Sing it again now. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Come and open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I do. I want to see you. Yes, Lord, I want to see you, oh, to see you high and lifted up, oh, lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
Change the order of the service today. We have several needs to bring before you, make everyone aware of, so that we can be praying about. Several folks are missing, out traveling. Please remember Brother Anwar. He's in New York. I believe he's ministering up there to the saints. Want to remember Sister Sarah Vasaki. She's in Germany, in Munich, traveling. Remember the Whitlocks in prayer. Brother David is having to work this weekend. And I believe Sister Jackie is having some back trouble. So please remember them in prayer. I want to remember Brother Lucas. He is not feeling well. Sister Caitlin Sylvester. She is. She'll be traveling home this evening. Brother Wayne Coffey is not with us today. I believe they're traveling in. He is traveling in Arkansas. Remember Josh and Kristen, they are traveling. I think he's going back to his hometown in Dunn, North Carolina. Also, we want to remember this request from Brother Roger. My granddaughter is sick. Please remember her in prayer. And Brother John had a request, a co-worker of his. I believe they're in the ER with chest pain and was requesting prayer. Amen. I'd like to ask Brother Stephen if he'd be prepared to lead these, take these requests before the Lord. Let's just sing that song as he's preparing to come. Rock.
that is higher than I will hear my prayer, O Lord. From the ends of the earth I cry, your peace will lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my strength in times of trouble, a tower above my enemies. Lord, I will abide with you forever in the shelter of your wings. For you have been my strength in times of trouble, a tower above my enemies. And Lord, I will abide in you forever in the shelter of your wings.
Amen. As Brother Steve comes, are there any unspoken prayer requests by uplifted hands? May God knows the need. Brother Steve.
Together, if you would bow your heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, today together as a body of people, Lord, as the church of the living God, we come together and gather in your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You promised that you would be among us, and we believe that you are. So, Lord, because of that fact, we place our needs and the many unspoken requests that we have, those that are traveling, those that are not with us, those that are sick and in need of healing, all of us, Lord, who have the needs that we have, we place them before you as the body of Jesus Christ, trusting them into your ever-capable care and believing that you will work out each need according to your perfect will. Lord, we believe this with all of our hearts. And we do this now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, this service this morning we place into your hands as well. We move ourselves out of the way as best as we know how. And I pray that you'd move through Brother Barry as he speaks. I pray that you'd give us the word of God that would touch just exactly what we have need of this morning. In our minds and our hearts, Lord, that you'd bring us right in accordance with the word of God. We love you and we thank you so much for the many blessings that you've given us. For all that you've done for us, Lord, we thank you. We love you. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this morning. Amen.
We'll sing one more, and I believe Brother Keith and his family have a special. I'd like to sing that song, We've Got the Power in the Name of Jesus. Amen.
We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power together, that all of our enemies, they're gonna crumble at our feet. And whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. 'Cause at the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. Hallelujah. 'Cause we've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord.
demons tried to stop us, but the bride of Jesus, Lord, we're still alive. And like a mighty army, we keep marching onward, winning every battle, 'cause the Lord's on our side. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got the power. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we've got the power. In the name of the Lord, though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. To give him a hand of praise, amen. As Brother Keith and his family come.
Old song. I know one time when we were over at Happy Valley, Brother Donnie was preaching a sermon about prayer, and he made a statement that it seems like we've gone from sweet hour of prayer to just a little talk with Jesus. But I like to look at it in this aspect, that it's all we have to have is just a little talk with Jesus. He knows what we need, and we just got to call on him. So trust this will be a blessing to you.
Crying.
Thank you, Brother Keith and family. Beautiful song. Let's all stand and sing. Amen. I'd like to sing that song, "This World Is Not My Home, Just a Passing Through." This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Well, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know, 'cause I fixed it up with Jesus so many years ago. And I know he'll see me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. Well, if heaven's not my home, well, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in glory land, we'll live eternally, 'cause the saints on every hand are shouting victory. All the songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Come on, sing it now. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. 'Cause if heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. 'Cause if heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't get home in this world anymore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give him a hand. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Why don't we sing one more before Brother Barry comes? Break the bread of life to us. There's going to be a meeting in the air. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Why don't we have the deacons come forward and we'll take up our morning offering. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory. Brother Mike, if you'd lead us in prayer, brother. Amen. I think it's in the key of G. You have heard of little Moses in the bullride. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph, and of Jonah and the well we often sing. Well, there are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet in that meeting in the air. Oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air in that sweet, sweet by
and by. I'm going to meet you over there and at home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son, He'll be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Listen now, many things will be there missing at that meeting. For the mourner's bench will have no place at all. Think about this. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner had refused to heed the call. And there will be no mourning over wayward loved ones. There will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted at that meeting in the air. Glory! There is going to be a meeting in the air in that sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that home. On the sky, such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son, He'll be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Well, the doubters will be missing altogether. Glory! All the skeptics will be absent on that day. There will be no grumblers present to disturb us, and the Achans will be busy far away. Well, there the saints will have His seal upon their foreheads. Well, dressed in raiment none but ransomed ones can wear. All who have the wedding garments will be present at that meeting in the air. Sing with all your hearts now. There is going to be a meeting in the air in that sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there in that home. Beyond the sky, well, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Let's keep it in the same vein. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. You believe that this morning?
Amen.
I think it's good for us to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Good for us to be gathered in this place today, and we just want to give Him praise and glory and honor for all that He does for us. Let's sing it this morning. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart. Thank you. have your way. We're going to slow it down singing this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and we want to remember the folks that are not with us today. I believe that Jaron mentioned most of them who are not here. Troy and Connie are not here today. They're away. This is an annual event for them on the first Sunday of August where they decorate, care for the graves of their family, so they're not here today. We also want to remember Sister Shirley Lingle and her family and her husband. And I want to say that I appreciate you praying for Sister Shirley and her husband. He was at a point where he's very low. It was very questionable about whether he would make it through last week. And God just turned that situation around just very slowly and just coming back up. He's just been doing very well. So that's been a great answer to prayer. So let's remember those needs this morning. Sister Becky, also, she's not here today, and she really wanted to be here today. But Lucas is home, and he's not doing very well at all, so we want to remember him in prayer. And Sister Becky's listening this morning, and so we want to remember all of our family and loved ones and those that would have a desire to be here this morning. We want to remember them in prayer. Let's sing this morning as we look to Him. Have your way. Today. Heavenly Father, we just consecrate our hearts, our spirits, Lord, as we enter into your presence today. And we invite you to come and move among us in a very real and a very personal way. We are honored. We are blessed. We realize, Lord, we are a very privileged people to be able to have our hand in your hand in the closing hours of time. But Lord, there are many churches, many women, many groups, many gatherings, Lord, but there's one bride who will go home with you. And Lord Jesus, we are privileged to be a part of that number today. We believe by faith, and we just ask now that you would just speak to our hearts, warm our hearts with your presence. And Lord, may you just come and take complete control of everything that's done today for your glory. We just give you our hearts, we give you our minds, we give you, Lord, our attention, we give you our focus. We pray, dear God, that you would forgive us of anything, Lord, that would be a hindrance to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Anything we've thought or said or done, Lord. And sometimes in our tiredness and our impatience and our weakness and our humanness, Lord, we make mistakes and we freely admit it. But we ask, Lord, that you would look at the sacrifice of Calvary's cross first before you look at us. And Lord, be pleased to move among us today. Bless the people, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask all of these things. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible, if you don't mind. We're going to read a passage just before I have you sit down. We'll make just a brief little announcement here or two and catch up here, and then we will look into the Word this morning. But Ezekiel chapter 2, we're going to read there first four verses. I mean, I've got all day. If you want to read the first four chapters, we can do that too. Verse 5. Ezekiel, the second chapter. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. The book of Ezekiel is divided into four sections. Each one of them begins with this phrase, and he said unto me, Son of man. And so this was an important point that God wanted to make. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and said into my heart, and set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are an impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated. Whether people want to receive it or not, God sent a prophet.
Amen.
Now, let me just say again, we're just honored to be here, to be back among you today, and I did not want to be elusive about going and announcing that we were going, but we were uncertain about whether we would actually make all the conditions would be right for us to leave, to be able to go on our trip over to Scotland and head the convention over there. And for those of you that make prayer requests and make note of things, you can remember them in prayer. It's great to be able to go encourage them, but they have the work of picking up there and setting their own vision for the church there after pastor passed away so suddenly in Scotland. And Brother Mekwi is the new pastor there and just struggling to establish things according to his own vision. And that's a real challenge to do that. But we were honored to be able to go and visit with them, and then also to be at the wedding of Brother Paulo and Sister Sarah MacDonald. And it was wonderful. They had a true Scottish wedding. Even though it was held in Ireland, they had a Scottish wedding, and they had a bagpiper escort her in. Never saw that one before. And when she came down the aisle, they had a bagpiper. It was one of the brothers in the church, Brother Jeff, and he had served in the military and played the bagpipe, had the kilt, the whole 9 yards, and came down the aisle. I videoed it, so I'll have to show it to you at some point. And afterwards, they insisted that I finally, after all my years of threatening to do it, I put on the whole kilt and the whole outfit and became a national hero in a matter of just a few moments. But it was a wonderful opportunity to be there at the wedding. And I also want to say that we were able to spend a little time with Brother Paulo's father, Brother Fernando, who was in hospital and had suffered for almost 2 years with the autoimmune disease that he had. And he was just looking wonderful, just looking really great. And they testified and said that they were just so excited about the fact that many people had prayed for them. And at one point, Sister Silva told me that she said the Lord had spoken to her sovereignly about a scripture verse that contained a promise of healing. And she said she was very encouraged by that. And she said the next day, she said she received a letter. And in the letter, which I had written to her, just trying to encourage the family, I used the same scripture in that. And she said it was just a real confirmation. She said, I know this is going to be hard, but she said, I know we're going to make it through. And they just came through that and just were really thanking God for the support and prayers that came from all over the world. We are honored this morning to announce our birthdays, and I know that everyone is excited to catch up with that. Josh Godwin and Kristen are not here today. They're down in Dunn with Josh's family. He has a birthday on August 5th, which is today. Yesterday. So the 6th is today, and that's Sister Liddy's birthday. God bless you, Sister Liddy Couture de Benes. God bless you, and We appreciate Sister Liddy very much. Also, August 7th is Sister Tracy Rabin's birthday. Sister Tracy, it's great to have you today. God bless you. And we trust that the Lord will richly bless you. Sister Tracy cares for her mother. Lots of times when she's, you know, on Sundays and she's not here in church. And so we miss you. And we're glad to have you today. And may the Lord bless you on your birthday tomorrow. Ethan and Anna Pritchard have an anniversary. 2 years? 2 years. God bless you both. We appreciate you very much. And then Andy Irish has a birthday. How old are you, Brother Andy?
45.
45. Really? You know what that is? Halfway to 90. I mean, I just thought I'd let you know, right? My kids use that one on me, so don't feel bad. God bless you. We appreciate Brother Andy very much and his family and all of our deacons and the work that they do. And may the Lord bless you, Brother Andy. August 12th is the shepherd's anniversary. How many years? 57 years. Wow. That's a long time. That's a real milestone. And we trust they're listening today that the Lord will richly bless them. Lastly, I would like to say, and certainly not least, we want to welcome the Robinsons with us today, all the way from New Zealand. Brother Alray is the pastor who took over Brother Paul Moffat's church. Some of you will remember Brother Paul Moffat when he came here and spoke a few years ago. And Brother Alray is originally from South Africa, from Brother Retief's church in the south of South Africa. And so they moved to New Zealand, and he and his wife Priscilla are here today. And I had the opportunity to go down and minister in their church a few years ago. And we are just delighted to have them today. Brother Alray is going to take the service tonight. And we're looking forward to that. And also, Carissa is here today. And welcome, Carissa. Good to see you again. And we're delighted to have you with us today. All right. let's take our thoughts now and just focus them on the Word for a little while this morning. And got a lot of hay on my fork. I won't get through this. So we'll just proceed as best we possibly can here in studying this subject here. This is something that I never intended to carry on quite as long as I did, the final voice of the final age, but it's tending to run out in some little different tributaries that I want to pursue, if it's all right with you. And so in the Church Age book, let me do just a very, very little review here. I was thinking this morning about these services that we had, and this is what I've numbered as number 13 in this series. In the Church Age book, Brother Branham makes this statement on page 340, and he talks about the whole Gentile bride and the whole perspective, looking at the bride all through the ages, and he talked about how that each prophet or messenger in the Church Ages came down through being singularly used of God to catch the mind of God and speak to the generation that was on earth at that time. Martin Luther and Columba and all the different messengers down through the ages there. And as he comes down through the end of this analysis, he said, then God sent Wesley, and he was the voice with the word in his day. The people who took his revelation from God became the living epistles read and known of all men for their generation. They didn't become the messenger. They didn't become prophets. But they became a living reflection of the word for that day to their generation. So now what mattered was that God could get the word to a man. The man could get the word to the people. And God always had a witness in the earth. Right? God always had an operative in the earth, if you like. Somebody through whom he could operate. Somebody through whom he could speak. And so this is very important now for us to hang on to today. That the people who took the revelation from the messenger, they became the scripture for their day. They became, that's what a living epistle is, right? It's the word in flesh. It's the word made manifest, right? They became the living epistles read and known of all men for their generation. And when the Methodists failed, God raised up others. So if the people now, after that messenger left, if the people then all of a sudden were affected by a denominational spirit, they denominated this message, then God could not use them. They were not God's operative anymore. They were not God's microphone anymore. Because that's not the message. As soon as you deviate from the message that God sent, then God can't use you anymore. So the only option then was to raise up another messenger and then have him speak, and then that people who heard that messenger would become the living epistle for that generation. So when the Methodists failed, God raised up others, and so it has gone on through the years until in this last day, there is again another people, that's us. Amen. There is another people in the land who under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. Wow, that's us, right? That's our place. You can kind of highlight that. That's exactly what our role is now, to become the living epistles known and read of all men to this generation. So God's got somebody on the earth to use, right? God's got somebody as a witness on the earth of this message. It's not necessary. And I hope you understand this correctly. It's not necessary that John Wesley was standing there in order for the message to go out. It was not necessary for Martin Luther to stand there for the message to go out. If the people who heard him believed what he said, they became carriers of the same message. They were living right on past the messenger. But not only this now, but if you don't mind, take your Bible and let's go to Revelation chapter 10. Here is the only place where this is articulated with a specific example here in Revelation chapter 10. We know verse 7 refers to William Branham. He was a messenger, the prophet to the last age. We know that. Revelation 10:1 becomes unveiled because of the revelation of 10, the messenger of Revelation 10:7. Isn't that correct? We understand who Revelation 10:1 is, which is Christ, because we had a prophet in the last day who declared the mystery of God. Correct? But it doesn't stop there. There's a people who, having believed that message, become a reflection of the word for this day. And here's how John describes it. He said, I took the book. The voice said to him, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me that little book. And he said, take it and eat it up, and it shall be in thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings and so forth. And so that becomes then, if you like, the commission defined, the commission of this last day's people who become the final voice of the final age, because it is a specific message that God has given to them in the last day, and we are the operatives, we are the voice that God has in the earth in the last day. I think that's quite exciting. I think that's worth coming to church for, just that much. We could sing now for a while and go have lunch, couldn't we? But there's a little more to it. They asked Brother Branham this question because I think this is really quite a sensible question. Would the Bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? Because it looked like, I mean, back in that day, hey, when people came to church, they crossed their arms and they said, we're here to watch that gift in operation. We're here to watch that prophet. And, I mean, the signs and the wonders and the mysteries and the understanding that came forth from that one gift alone, that one ministry that was there. Hey, if I was there, probably would have folded my arms and sat back and watched that too. And so the question is this it? I mean, is this the is there any other need for ministry outside of this ministry that we have here now? And would the Bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? And he says, sure, that's what's going on right now. The Bride of Christ, certainly. It is the message of the hour, the Bride of Christ. So I believe I'm performing my ministry this morning. I hope you are too. By believing this message, by preaching this message, by witnessing this message, you're doing exactly what the ministry is supposed to do for of the ministry of the bride before the rapture takes place, before the people of God get out of here. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. Sure, she consists of apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, and so forth. That's the Bride of Christ. And so the ministry obviously have a very important part in this, but I don't want you to just confine this to just the ministry itself, the fivefold ministry. Not at all, because as we read in this previous statement here, it is the people who receive that message from the messenger, they become living epistles in their particular generation. And in this definition, Brother Branham says, in the last day, there is again, in the last part of the quote here, there is again another people in the land who under their messenger will be the final voice of the final age. So obviously ministers have an important part of that, but we're not the only part. It's made up of many parts. Isn't that right? You are a reflection, a living reflection example of that message. Let me give you a couple of statements here and just a little review so we can all be on the same page. And I feel like we're very much on the same page. But just to refresh our minds. Brother Branham said, I believe the church is going to hear the message and beginning to understand it, but we got to lay in the presence of the Son. We got to be ripened. Our faith isn't ripe. And that's not an insult. That's not a criticism. That's exactly just a statement of fact. That God knew there would have to be a planting and a maturing of that crop until we came to the place where our faith would be mature. Intellectually, we're hearing the message that God has given us and seeing the signs that He showed us and proving it by the Bible. But how the church needs to lay in the presence till it tenders up and gets sweet in the Spirit. Now watch what he says about her. Sometime in speaking the message, you get harsh and you have to break it in like that because we got to clinch a nail to make it whole. We've got to drive it home. But when the church once gets it, that's us. This is us now, okay? Because the church nominal didn't get it. But we got it, right? How many have got it today? All right. The church that gets it, the elected, is called out and separated. Then, in the presence of God, I know it'll be something like the people that was there when it takes the rapture. If these people really, that's us, really get it, then in the process of maturing, we will actually become, get ready, we will actually become like the people he saw beyond the curtain of time before we leave and go beyond the curtain of time. Brother Roger, that's all right. I believe that's very true. Therefore, to me, Brother Branham raised the bar. He raised the standard in relation to the conduct of this church. He raised the bar in terms of the fact that we should not have petty bickering among us. We should not have politics or jealousies among us. We should not have competition for pulpits. We should not have kingdom building within this church. We should not have anything, really, but true love among us. We should be a people who love the revelation of God's Word. We desire nothing else but to hear from Him and to honor Him and to glorify Him. We should be a people that are living for the kingdom as though we are in the kingdom, even though we're in these bodies right here. Complainers, lack of forgivers, people with a bitter heart, people with a lousy attitude, all of that. Let me tell you, you're under pressure. Whether you realize it or not, you're under pressure. Because that's not what's found over there. And we're supposed to be living over here like we're going to live over there. And that's what he's talking about. I know it'll be something like the people that was there beyond the curtain of time when he visited them. And you know what? Everybody over there, they were just delighted to stand in line and shake Brother Branham's hand and give him a hug around the neck and carry him on their shoulders. And, they were all waiting for the eventual next step that was going to happen where they would see Christ. But they were content to be there. They were happy to be there. They were all dressed in a certain way, all had a certain kind of a conduct about them. And the thing that we really do know about beyond the curtain of time was that when Brother Branham got there among those people, he just didn't want to go back. Right? He just didn't want to go back. And that, to me, is one of the hallmarks of the Bride of Christ. That's one of the hallmarks of the gathering or the community or the family of the body of Christ. And that is, we just enjoy being together. We enjoy worshiping together. We enjoy doing stuff together. Because we are a people who are called into another kingdom and actually called to live in this kingdom like we're going to live in that kingdom before we get there. Because, folks, death doesn't change you. It only changes the kingdom you have your feet planted in. That's all. Now, to me, that's an exciting thing. All right, another little statement here. He says, then we find in the day all of the world back in the days of Noah, he said it was going to be destroyed, that in that day God made a preparation. So God, at the same time, has moved into a judgment cycle. He's moved into a judgment mindset. But at the same time, he's making a preparation at the same time. Because there are people who are not going to be included in that judgment cycle. They've actually been given grace already in the mind of God. Otherwise, God wouldn't be making a preparation. There would have been no preparation in building an ark. God just would have flooded the earth, right? But in the same time, at the same time that God is doing one thing, there's something else that's happening here. It's a preparation for what cause? To preserve His purpose. God's got a purpose. God's got something going on that even though we may not see it or understand it because we don't have access to the future, God's making preparation. God's actually at work doing something here. And He did it in the days of Noah. He's doing it today. He has made a preparation to conserve His own purpose. He will conserve a church. He will conserve a people. And nothing can destroy it. It has been planted. It's a seed of God. It's a purpose of God to show us again signs and wonders and miracles and so forth. So if God's, if the same thing is repeating, then God's actually preparing today. And I believe that's what He's doing this morning. And I also believe that God's already as well in a judgment mindset, in the judgment cycle. And we can see that in the earth. It's a purpose of God and nothing can destroy it. Nothing's going to alter it. California, Los Angeles is going to go under, folks. You can pray and fast all you want, but I give you a piece of advice. Find something else to pray and fast for. If you want something else better to pray and fast for than keeping Los Angeles up, pray for me. All right? Because that's going to happen. That's already spoken. All powers of hell might wager against it, but it will prevail. We have God's eternal promise. There might be isms and great programs rise. There might be things that look like it'll never be destroyed, but it can never be destroyed. It is the purpose of God to see that it would prevail. So the things that God has said are going to come to pass, they are going to come to pass, and that's God's promise to us. But now remember now, because God has this mindset of preparation, just to give you an example in the Bible here. In Revelation chapter 7, you remember when John is looking and the ages end and the seals, you know, the Lamb takes the book in that great scene and then the revelation of the seals comes forth and Israel, you know, is about to be numbered, all the tribes of the earth. And it looks like right in that season of time, that destruction should strike the earth so that it would be renovated and God's people can come back on it again. But there are four corners of that earth and four angels are standing on it. Let's read it from the scripture. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding, this is symbolism, holding the four winds of the earth. Wind always means strife. That the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. The strength of this wind, the strength of this war is capable of triggering something that's going to renovate this earth, the whole earth, for the next phase, which is going to be the millennium. And so therefore, this is a very powerful thing. But I saw another mighty angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So everything's got to be prepared. Everything's got to be right. And so in the same time that there's a judgment cycle, there's a preparation to make sure everybody's sealed and everybody's saved. Aren't you glad for that? Let me tell you, that's why the gospel is still with the Gentiles, because there must be some Gentiles that are not saved. And they all got to be sealed. They all got to be included before God can let it go. But it's already in preparation. Everything is in preparation. Both the judgment cycle and the redemption cycle are still both in sequence. And God's holding one up because of the other. Again, we find Mark of the Beast here in 1961, and Brother Branham talks about World War I, and this is back in that time when these angels, you know, would be in that place of holding back the judgment. And Brother Branham said it stopped mysteriously. And what did it? He said God's issue went forth to hold the four winds. What did it? What held up? What caused World War I to stop? God's issue. And God's issue was, let me tell you what God's intent was during that time. God's intent was you. God's intent was this bride to come forth. God's intent was for a prophet to come and raise up to the Gentiles and bring all those pieces together and open the book of Revelation, the seals and everything else. And under that ministry, God would bring in a bride and mature a bride. Because remember, Brother Bram says back there in 65, he says that, you know, the bride's getting it intellectually, but she's got to mature. She's got to ripen up. She's got to become tender in the presence of God. So that speaks of time. There's got to be a time But here's the angels that are on time, and they're ready to hurt the earth and the sea. But God says, no, hold on, hold on. There's something still got to be done. And God's preparing. God's preparing. He's got a judgment cycle prepared, but he's got a redemption cycle that has to include everybody before the judgment cycle can come. You can see, obviously, that both of those don't work together well at the same time. If you got a judgment cycle happening and a redemption cycle happening, you better hope the judgment cycle doesn't reach you before the redemption one does. So God says, now when God's judgment strikes, you better be ready, and you better be in the right spot, because there ain't going to be no hiding places during that time, right? So God says, no, stop it. Just hold, put it on pause. Hold it. It's all still there, but just hold it. Every day we hear about nuclear activity. Every day we hear about nuclear potential, right? Every day now. I mean, it's just incredible. And all the effects, all of the different things that are happening in the earth that indicate to us that even the earth itself is going through travail and laboring and, you know, waiting to be birthed again. Because the earth knows, because it's an attribute of God, it knows it's not in its right place. And it's got to come to its right place. Just like we travail because we know we're not in the right place. But there's something in us that's calling for that place. You know what we're waiting for? Is the issue of God. And God's going to issue Israel right back in on the scene. He's going to issue the bride right off the earth. And the millennium will take place and all those things happen. It's the issue of God that holds it up. So, therefore, we come to this question of prophets. And this is not anything that's new to you. This little section is not going to be anything that's new to you, but I'd like to just underscore it because there's a portion of this I'd like to make sure you really understand. Forgive me if this may be elementary. But this becomes very important because if we can understand this, we can understand better what it is that we have to become being under the ministry of this ministry. Under the ministry of this prophet that came in the last day. We've been the generation that's been promised a prophet, right? In the last day. And when we understand scripturally what that actually means, then it's helpful. It makes it easier for us to know what we are to become, because we are the living epistles that reflect the message to our generation after that prophet is taken off the earth, after that ministry goes past. We're not to become prophets. But take a look. Prophet in the old day was a seer. He was one that would foretell. Prophets don't come by laying on of hands. We don't decide to become a prophet. Neither do we elevate some man to the position of one. That's not how it works. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. For thou camest out before out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. So no man, even a prophet himself, cannot ordain another man to be a prophet. Are we okay? God does this. And prophets follow a certain order, and they follow a certain path because they are prophets, and they're just born that way, they're made that way. The prophet that hath a dream in Jeremiah chapter 23, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. A real prophet of God is going to say things faithfully. He's going to say things that really are not things at all he's thinking, not the things he's intellectually knowing, but things that are coming from the mind of God, because that's what a prophet is. A prophet is literally like a microphone. And he speaks those things that are from the mind of God. And so therefore, it may not even make sense to him. But he says them because he is called to be faithful. And he has to reflect truly what God places in his mind. I got news for you this morning. That's not the way it is in the world. In the world, if you want to be a prophet, you can be one. In the church world, if you want to be a prophet, you can be one. In the world out there, in the church world, if you feel like you got a prophetic gift, or if you go among these schools of the prophets out there, they'll find you one. They'll find you a gift. They'll make sure that you're included in that number. When you do a casual search, you can find just a plethora, an amazing amount of schools of prophets out there and conventions that go on continually within this country and in many other countries of the world that give you really whatever you want to be a prophet. This Daniel anointing they talk about, or inclusion in the school of the prophets here, this was 2012. You can apply now and in Redding, California, and you can become a member of the School of Prophets. You can graduate from the school and have a certificate that says you're a prophet. I don't mean to be making fun. It's just that there's a whole lot of it out there. Right. Ministries that are well-known, ministries that are not all that well-known. But the point is that they want you to fit in somewhere. Where do you fit? And they'll do a spiritual gifts inventory. They will do whatever it takes to discover your spiritual gift in only 20 minutes. Hello? Why wouldn't you go? Practical prophetic ministry, the metamorphosis of the prophet. And they're actually putting people... You know what? We can laugh all we want. And you know, it is, in a sense, it is quite humorous to think about it because we've been trained a little bit differently. But you know what? There's a lot of people that feel the need for a prophet. Just like when Brother Branham was on the earth and Jack Moore and all those other folks were, putting in every newsletter that went out, fast and cry and repent and pray for revival to come, because they knew, they absolutely knew that there was supposed to be something come that was above the ordinary in the last day, but they didn't have eyes to see. They had a prophet right among them, and they failed to see that this was that revival they were actually crying for. And here's Brother Branham standing right in their midst. They're reading their papers and looking at their papers. Fast and pray, fast and pray, fast and pray. You folks, let me tell you something. If you don't get anything else from this today to be thankful for, be thankful for this, that you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Because God let you experience that revival. God let you hear that voice. God let you be a participant in this. Without all the razzmatazz of this right here, wherever there's a true move of God, there has to be a counterfeit that follows it. And people will merchandise that. They'll take those things and they'll use them, you know, for whatever reason, whatever gain they can get. But let me tell you, there is a true. Because there is all of this false out there, there is a true. And God has opened your eyes and been able to catch it. Yes, this is that which God spoke in the last day. Hold on to that now. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom he believed, as the Lord has given to every man? I have planted, Apollos has watered, God gave the increase." And the thing that I simply want to say to you about this scripture and the next quotation here is that when Paul and Brother Branham both spoke about the things that were unfolding and coming and the things that were going to happen even after their departure, it was not strange for them to talk about another generation of people who would rise up and carry this on. Because that was God's heart, right? That's God's intent. That's exactly what God had in mind. That it was not just going to be everybody focusing on this one man and putting their arms together and looking back and observing the gift. But now, hey folks, we're the ones who are on the stage. This is our time. As the bride of Christ now, we embrace this message, and the embracing of it brings with it a responsibility to act on it and to reflect it and to speak it and to witness it. And Paul says, I'm not the only one. Apollos has got a ministry, and this one's got, Epaphroditus has got a ministry, and so forth. Brother Branham says the same thing in 1965. And he says, I'm very thankful for these open doors that I've had and the inspiration it's given to young men like your pastor here. And I'm beginning to get old and know my days are numbered. And know now that these are young, that these young men can take this message and sweep it on to the coming of the Lord. However long it takes. We got Matthew here and Stephen here and Brother Ulrich here and, other men of God that are here raising up, young men that are raising up. Hey, that's not my intent. My intent would be, I'd just assume we wrap it up here at the end of the day. And just take that final step. Would that be all right? But you know what? God's probably got another plan in mind. God's probably got something else in mind. And just wants to take, a guy like Alan here and use him and Danny over here and different ones. You know, people want to do something for the kingdom. And God's probably got a work for them to do and develop that. And, who knows? Who knows? Only God knows. So the church now becomes no longer the mouthpiece of God. It is its own mouthpiece. It has its own agenda. It has its own purpose, if you like. It has its own issue. We just referred to the issue of God, right? When God made an issue and he told those angels to hold back the destruction. The church now has its own issue. How many would agree? And their statement, their issue, their agenda is very different than God's agenda now. it's become very different. And he will confound her through the prophet and the bride, for the voice of God will be in her. So we find then, as we study this just a little bit more, that God can have, in this spirit of preparation that we talked about, that God can have a man like Moses on the earth and have a Joshua standing right there to take over the next phase of that work that God is doing in an ongoing way. Like Paul says, he says, Timothy, after my departure, grievous wolves are going in and they're in. In other words, there's still going to be a ministry beyond my physical life. And that ministry is going to matter. That ministry is going to matter to the people that are on earth in that age. But it isn't all going to end with me. And Brother Branham, I believe, alluded to the same thing. These men of God, they were saying the same thing. That after, there's going to be time carry on until God shuts it down. And then when God shuts it down, there'll be nothing really to worry about then when God shuts it down, because he's going to take his bride away. But until things get shut down, here's the pattern. God will use a man. God will reflect the word of the Lord through that man to the people on earth at that time. Certain men will pick it up with a calling and preach it out there and carry on the preaching. And the people will receive that, believe that, become living epistles known and read of all men. And they'll become the living word to that age that they're living in. And in the last day, Brother Branham says, they will be the final voice to the final age that they're living on the face of the earth. And that's us. And that's our solemn commission, our solemn responsibility. That's where we're at. And to me, therefore, it's not just going to church. It's not just, filling a pew or going through the religious motions now. This is the message embraced and lived out with a desire to see that word go to every nation on earth. But remember now that God has got a man on the earth, and then he's had a Joshua right there. And he says, Joshua was a general. He was a commander of the army. Joshua was a believer, a Christian, but Moses was a prophet. I think it's interesting that Brother Branham said that Stonewall Jackson was the greatest general on earth apart from Joshua. I think it's amazing. I think it's also amazing that we have somebody in this church whose name is exactly the same as Stonewall Jackson's wife, Anna Jackson. But I need you to notice something else now. The word can't come to Joshua. It's got to come to Moses. While Moses is on the face of the earth, the word of the Lord comes to him, because God doesn't use multiple people. The word of the Lord comes to one. He's got a Joshua standing there. He's a general. He's a believer. He's a Christian. He's everything he should be. But the word of the Lord is coming to Moses. He said it's got to come to Moses. It can't come to Joshua while it's coming to Moses, and Moses is there. So the reason that Joshua doesn't come into that place is because Moses is still there. He was the major prophet of the hour. And notice the word never did come to Joshua until Moses was gone. So now when Moses is taken off the earth, now Joshua comes into that place. It's interesting. While Brother Branham was here, everything focused on Brother Branham, right? And the word can't come to anybody else. And now all of a sudden you take that prophet away. Who have you got? The final voice of the final age, right? Just saying. Just saying what the tapes say. Now, let's look at this. The tests of a true prophet are, we've talked about these before, and just I want to refresh your memory. That's all in Numbers chapter 12. Moses told the people, he said, "Hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream." It doesn't matter that somebody gets up and says, "Hey, the Lord spoke to me." Lots of people say that. And I have news for you. Lots of people have said it, and it wasn't the Lord spoke to them at all. I mean, they might have got spoken to, but it wasn't the Lord spoke to them. Because remember now, the quality of a true prophet is that he's going to be faithful to the word of the Lord. It's going to follow in continuity with everything that's been said prior to that. And it's going to come to pass. It's not going to be just a figment of his imagination. It's going to come to pass. It's going to be real. It's going to happen. And so these tests of a true prophet then, like in Deuteronomy chapter 18, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." This was given, through Moses there, and he says, I'm going to raise up a prophet. But we know that this did not happen for another 1,200, 1,300 years. This didn't happen for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. Yet it was true nonetheless. Because if God said it, it's going to come to pass exactly as God said. So then we carry on with the Deuteronomy chapter 18, and another test there. It shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, and which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, that prophet will go and start his own church somewhere. No. But unfortunately, that happens. Because people want to be prophetic. They want to speak for God. They want to have that place of being a mouthpiece for God. And so therefore, He's putting a very strict boundary down here, and he says, that prophet that presumes to speak in word in my name. Now remember in the book of Jeremiah, you remember when Jeremiah said to them, you're going to go off into a foreign land for 70 years. You remember that? And this other prophet rose up and said, no, he said, it's going to be 3 years, not 70. Three is a better number, it's a more scriptural number, and you'll be back in 3 years. And he comes out and he's got he's got a declaration, he's got an issue. And God requires that of him. Because he's speaking in the name of the Lord. He's speaking very presumptuously in the name of the Lord. And he's causing the people now to believe. And naturally, there's a lot of people that are going to believe the less captivity sermon than the more captivity sermon. I mean, which choice would you take naturally, right? In 70 years, your bank account's going to be closed. They're going to consider you dead if you don't show up for 70 years, right? In 3 years, you can probably pull it off. You understand what I'm saying, folks? There's a whole lot less preparation if you're going to wait for 3 years rather than 70. I mean, if you're in the over 50 club, you're probably not coming back in 70 years, right? So you got work to do before you go off into captivity. Oh, and by the way, there's an invading army on your back doorstep. So this is, if we're going to believe one prophet or the other, why wouldn't you believe the 3-year prophet, so what happens, all I'm saying is that in the minds of the people, there's a potential for them to believe something that is not true because, you know what, that sounds better. And both of them are saying, thus saith the Lord. But God says, hey, well, we're not going to have that, not going to have that. And Jeremiah comes in and he tells the people all. He says, it's not going to be 3 years at all. It's going to be 70 years. He says, go and plant your houses and don't plan to be back here before 70 years is up and you'll do it. And that man's dead within a year. Within 8 or 9 months, that man is dead. Because he prophesied presumptuously in the name of the Lord and did what he did and put something in the minds of the people that was not ordained to be there. God said that prophet shall die. So this is very serious business to God. And to presume means that they're going to do it arrogantly. They're going to take it upon themselves without permission and take it for granted. Now that's a gutsy thing to do, isn't it? To speak for God without God telling you to do it. That really is a thing that I can see why God would get upset with that. And take for granted that, well, it doesn't really matter what I say. And that's why sometimes, I think we should be careful to say what God told me to take this job. God told me to marry that woman. And that woman might have been married before. We might need to talk a little bit first in the office here before you plan the wedding, if you don't mind. Not saying you're not spoken to. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. All right, how about Deuteronomy 18? Where Moses prophesies of something, the Lord God shall raise up a prophet likened unto me, him shall ye hearken. Doesn't happen for 1,700 or however many years it was, 1,300, 1,400 years. It doesn't happen from the time of Moses until Jesus steps on the earth. And so now here's a prophet who's prophesied something, and it doesn't come to pass in their lifetime. And they're looking at that, and they might start to say, and some people might start to say, well, is the other things that Moses said in question too? I mean, I'm just saying what it says. So in the super sign, here we go. Here's where you need to really focus in now. And a seer was one who had the interpretation of the written word. And he foresaw things that was to come. And you remember those prophets, they were lifted up and they had an eye to the future. They were looking at things that were coming to pass, even though they hadn't happened yet. So they foresaw things that were to come. And when he spoke of the things that was to come and proved that he was a seer, then he knew. And they knew he had the right interpretation of the scripture because God, through him, manifested the written scripture for that day. Let me say it again. When he spoke things that was to come and proved that he was a seer, then he knew. Notice now, Moses doesn't just give one prophecy about the coming of Christ down here. He gives many that are going to happen in his day. And God attends that ministry with signs and wonders continually. So that if the people are applying the test of a prophet and saying that what he has said, now it's coming to pass, and Moses is fulfilling that ministry and God is obviously blessing it, then the people then know that if what he said back here has come to pass, and what he said has come here to come to pass, and this come to pass, and that's come to pass, and all of the judgments and interpretations that Moses had, and all the visitations and the cloud and the pillar of fire, all of it spoke of the vindication that God gave to Moses. And in that, Moses prophesies of one that is to come. All of this evidence precludes that this is going to be true up here. Hey, folks, we've had the same kind of thing. We've been trained in the same way, right? Because here's a prophet in our day that came along and said Los Angeles is going to sink, and it hasn't happened yet. But we know what? We've got a great big body of evidence that proves that that man was a vindicated prophet. And you know what? I'm willing to put it on the shelf. But you know, in my heart, and you know, we can't say it has happened because it hasn't happened yet. But I'm going to say this. I believe it's going to happen. By faith, I believe it's going to happen. Because everything else that's been said has been proven that was a vindicated prophet. And lots and lots and lots of things have come to pass exactly as he said it. There's a time and a place and a preparation for everything to take place. And you know what? God's going to have it all happen in his time, not our time. Not when we think it's got to happen, but it's going to happen in his time. And it's going to come to pass in his season there. We just need to be ready when it does come to pass. Because I believe when Los Angeles sinks down there, probably not going to be a whole lot of time for you to do a whole lot else. Personally, that's just how I feel about it. And I believe that, therefore, we can believe that it's going to happen. But if somebody says to you, aha, see, therefore it didn't come to pass, you'd have to say it's true. It hasn't come to pass, but it's been spoken. So they knew he had the right interpretation of the scripture because God, through him, manifested the written scripture for the day. Now let me ask you now, based on this sentence right here, which is more important? The signs and physical evidence? Or the manifestation of the word for the day? In the long term, folks, it's the latter. It's the manifestation of the word for your day. Now, same quote, super sign. Don't be slothful. Wake up. All right? Go back now to what he just said then, because everybody's got to wake up. Everybody just go like this. Look at your neighbor. Just do that. That's you. Brother Ram says, don't be slothful. Wake up. Because either what I've just said you need to get, or what I'm going to say you need to get. And I'm going to suggest to you it's both. You excited? Watch what he says. You're pretty good this morning. Some of you didn't get the Anna Jackson thing, but don't be slothful now. He says, wake up. She died, by the way. She died very early in his life. He went and married another lady after that, but his first wife was Anna Jackson. That was the... Watch now what he says. Don't be slothful now. Wake up. That was the plain identification. In other words, God says, let me make this plain. I don't want to be ambiguous about this. I don't want to be clouded about this. I don't want you to go away scratching your head. This is the plain identification. A seer is both a foreteller and a teller forth. And the only way that they knew he was getting the right interpretation to the scripture, because what he said come to pass. Now these two words are really interesting. These two phrases here. You'll only find it in reference to things like the biblical prophecies that are meant to come to pass. There's an element of a prophet's ministry whereby he foretells something. In other words, he's going to tell what's going to come to pass in the future. It's going to happen. You remember when Brother Branham was out with the brothers out there in Arizona and he took the rock and threw it up in the air and he said there's going to be a great earthquake strike the earth. He was foretelling something, right? He's simply telling what's going to pass, what's going to come to pass. A foreteller is somebody who is able to identify things that have been spoken about a particular time and identifies them as they come to pass. So this is a telling forth. This is that which has been spoken by the prophets. Now sometimes that's not clear, and sometimes it needs to be articulated. Let me give you an example. Again, Deuteronomy 18, the Lord your God shall raise up unto thee a prophet. Acts chapter 7, Stephen is just about to be stoned. He's giving his history of Israel, and he says he brought them out. After that, he had showed signs and wonders in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto your brethren, like unto him, like unto me, him shall ye hear. And if you read on in the passage, Stephen is identifying Jesus Christ. This is that Moses which said, this prophet shall raise up. And he says, that's the reason I'm in question. That's the reason you're stoning me, is not because of what Moses said, but it's the foretelling of that prophecy. It's the telling forth of that prophecy that says, this is telling now exactly what was issued back there, and this is the manifestation of that. And Stephen says, I believe it, and that's why you want to stone me. You're not stoning me because I do good works. You're not stoning me because people are saved in my ministry. Look, folks, that's not why people are against us. People are not against us because we send missionaries around the world and we print books and so forth. That's not why people are against us. They're not against us because we hold church. Most people in North Carolina are in church anyway, right? North Carolina is a state of churches. I mean, that's just what it is, right? Lots of people are in church. We're not ever going to be under persecution for going to church. It's what we believe in the church. That's what makes a difference. Because we're living in the telling forth and the foretelling of prophecies that have been given about this hour. We believe that what God said about our time is now coming to pass, right? We believe that we're living in that day. And this is exactly what's coming to pass. And the devil hates the light. The devil hates the current light because in the light is where you have forgiveness of sins. And in the light is where you have true communion. And in the light is where you are connected to the rest of the body of Christ. Amen. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins, right? It's that light that Satan always hates. It's that light that Satan always persecutes people for and tries to drive them away from them. And that's what Stephen is saying there, that this is that which Moses promised, and now we're living in that day, and I believe it. Not only that, he said, but I believe it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. They thought that all ended when they nailed him to the cross and buried him in the tomb. But now here's Stephen testifying, he's alive and well, and living in me to tell the world that he's the same. Let me give you another example here. Jeremiah chapter 29, for thus saith the Lord, after 70 weeks be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Daniel chapter 9, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, and he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God. You see what Daniel is talking about? This is 70 years later now. And Daniel said, you know what? Jeremiah said it was going to be 70 years. Folks, I'm standing here to tell you, I believe we're at the end of that 70 years. This is 68 years. And Daniel begins to pray and fast and seek the Lord because this is that which the prophet spoke. Peter comes out on the day of Pentecost and he said, hey, these men are not drunk as you suppose. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel back there. your young man shall prophesy and your old man shall see dreams. And so remember that, right? Peter says, this is that. This is the telling forth. This is actually the recognition, the identification of the word for this day. And it's coming to pass. And this day, these scriptures are fulfilled in your hearing. This day, we are a part of that unfolding here. And Peter said, this is exactly what's happening today. We understand what's going on because we're walking in the light of the word that has been spoken about our day, and now we're living in it. Praise the name of the Lord. We are thankful for that. Hello? Hello? Think about it now in terms of our day, right? Think about it in terms of our time. Think about, you know, what the devil would rail against us about. It's like I said, it's not because we have nicer pews or you know, we have more or less money than anybody else, or we have a belief system that's a little bit different than most. That, let me tell you, having church is not the problem. It's the Christ we project. This is that which was promised in the last day. A Christ would so be present among a people and so real in the lives of those people, and would actually, it would actually transform them into people as if they were already dead, crossed over on the other side. It's almost like they're living in glory and still here. You know what that is? That's a victory. That's a victory for the Holy Spirit. That's a victory for a people to be able to come through all the denominations and all the world and all the sinfulness you've come through and the drugs and all the rest of it. You come through all that. And here you are sitting here this morning saying amen to what I'm telling you. And you know what? That's a victory for the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart and your life. Be able to come out of where you come out of and all the doctrines and teachings and Catholicism and everything else that you've come out of, all the darkness you come out of, and all of a sudden you're standing here and saying, I'm walking in the light. I believe I'm in the light of the hour. I'm here to tell forth exactly who I am. God said to be a bride in the last day, and I am her. I am she. I am who he prophesied would stand here in the last day. Wow. I mean, you think about that, it's kind of lofty, isn't it? When you think about it. But that's exactly what Brother Branham was telling us would happen. And that's exactly what the scriptural pattern is. That God says a certain thing and it's going to come to pass. And you know what? We're the people now. We're the people now that stand in defense of a true prophet who prophesied something to come to pass. And we are the embodiment of it. We are the expression of it. And we are the ones left on the earth to tell the rest of the world, no, don't dismiss him. What he said was true. Because what he said is now coming to pass in us. We are the living epistles known and read of all men. Well, you say, Brother Barry, you don't know what kind of week I had. Hey, you know what? Thankfully, that doesn't matter. Because that's a natural outcome of living in the biological world, right? That's the natural outcome of living at the end of Laodicea. That's the natural outcome of living in a world that's falling apart. And there's all kinds of things that happen to us and mistakes we make and all the different things that are wound up in your character and your personality and your, the shortfall you have in your income and, you know, deciding, well, this job or that job and should I do this and should I go here and should I do that and should I put my kids in college, you know, I mean, it could all wrap up. And there's always decisions and choices. There's always things that are going on. Should we buy a new car? Should we, go for the 0% interest, or should we keep the car we've gotten, put repairs into it, but the repairs are this much, so we should we do that? And I mean, just, hey, that's life. Who among us doesn't have issues like that? Brother Branham said, hey, don't repair the church. Don't expand the church because the Lord's going to come. How can the Lord not come when so many things are happening and so many things are going on here? But they took the vote. The Holy Spirit said, no, hold on just a little bit. We've got a little bit of work to do here yet. So go ahead and expand the church. Brother Lee Vail said one time that Brother Branham needed, he had old carpet in his house, Ewing Street, where he lived there. And he said he was wanting to, he needed to take the carpet out, and they were going to restore the hardwood there and refinish it, you know, but have a hardwood floor in the place there. And Brother Branham went and got an estimate, and it was $100. $100? $100? And he told Brother Vail, he said, they want $100 to do the floor. And, you know, to refinish the floor and put new hardwood and stuff down there, make it like new hardwood. And he says, I can't do that. He said, what's the point? There's no time in doing things like that. There's no point in doing that at all. Brother Vail said, go ahead and do the floor. Just go ahead and do the floor. But he said, I don't have $100 to pay for the floor. He said, go ahead and do the floor. He said, there'll be enough people to pay for the floor. He said, just go ahead and do the floor. So reluctantly, Brother Branham went ahead and did the floor. Because in a real sense, it seems like, how could time go on? How could we look at the world and we think, how could time go on? How could things delay any longer? Or how can things get worse? And that's what we look at. But remember now, we're not the one with our hand on the stopwatch. We're not the one who decides what the time limits or the boundaries are. So therefore, your job is to only take your job description, look at it and say, that's what I'm supposed to be. I'm not supposed to decide when this is over. I'm supposed to live to the fullest while it's still on. Hello? I'm supposed to be the living epistle known and read of all men. I'm supposed to be the one that defends the truth in this hour. I'm the one. I'm the embodiment of somebody walking in the light in this hour. That's who I am. And as you live that way, you become the final voice of the final age. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stop. Hey, I apologize. I'm just getting through the introduction there and the review, so I'm sorry. Pastors are going to stick around, though. Whether we like it or not, pastors are going to stick around. So we'll live to preach another day. Aren't you glad that God's got his hand on your life? Aren't you glad that there is a plan that God has, and you're a part of it. You're very much a part of it. And God, like I've said many times before, God could have chosen a whole lot of people to live in this last day, but he said, no, I want you. He chose a bunch of people to take Martin Luther's message and live that out after Martin Luther went off the scene. John Wesley and all the rest of it. But God in the last day said, I'm going to pick you folks and have you to reflect and live that message in this last day. Wow. Wow. It's just absolutely amazing, really, when you think about it. Let's sing that little chorus to Keith, if you don't mind. Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Order my steps in your word. Let's sing that this morning here. I think we should worship him. You think we should worship him? I think we should worship him this morning and just let him know, Lord, I'm thankful to be in that number today. I'm thankful to be called in that number and to be a part of that body of Christ. Let's sing it this morning. Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me and guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word. Please order my steps in your word. I want to walk in your word, dear Lord. Lead me and guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word. Please order my steps in your word. I want to walk worthy according to Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside.
the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. On the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life.
Understood what I said this morning? Is that clear? You understand it? You know what, folks? That's the Word working mightily in you. That's what the Word's supposed to do. That's what the ministry of the bride is, the message of the hour, right? So the Word is working. It works. It doesn't slow down. It doesn't miss a beat. It works. It sure does. I'm glad it works. Because I'm glad it's not dependent on my intellectual capability or lack thereof in order to make it work. It's not what it's depending on at all. It's depending on whether the Holy Spirit works, is at work in our lives. And He is. We're thankful for that. So, we know where we're going, right? We know where we're going. We know where we know where this is taking us to. We know where we're going to wind up. That's what's comforting about it. Because there's nothing but good ahead for the bride of Christ. Sing it now like you mean it this morning. Do you want to know where I'm going? Where I'm going soon? Anybody ask you where I'm going?
I'm gonna run this race until I see my Savior face to face. Oh, I'm going up to yonder. I'm going up to yonder. I'm going up to yonder to see my Lord. Oh, I'm going up to yonder. I'm going up to yonder. I'm going up to yonder to be with my Lord. Now I can take the pain, heartache it brings, with the comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. As God gives me grace, I'm gonna run this race until I see my Savior face to face. Up to yonder, I'm going up to yonder, I'm going up to yonder to be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going up to yonder, I'm going up to yonder, I'm going up to yonder to be with my Lord. Do you want to know where I'm going? Where I'm going soon? If anybody asks you where I'm going, where I'm going, I'm going up to yonder to be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going up to yonder. I'm going up to yonder. I'm going up to yonder to be with my Lord.
Praise the Lord. Wouldn't take nothing from my journey now. Glory to God. Knowing why you're in the journey and knowing where the journey is going to take us takes a lot of the anxiety out of the whole journey, doesn't it? I mean, if we didn't know where we were going and if we didn't know how we got here in the first place, that'd be one thing. Now, I mean, it makes sense to me. I know why I'm here. I know what I'm supposed to be doing in the journey. And I know where it's taking me. Wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Told the world, turn me around. Well, he's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want, worldly fame, but it wouldn't take nothing. Sing that again. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gonna make it to heaven somehow. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, because you care for us in all we go through. Lord, you've chosen us. And you've ordained us to be here in this last hour. That you're doing, not ours. And Lord, we trust that this message, Lord, it will become so real to us. We would have no fear or doubts where it's taking us. Because I believe, Lord, we are moving as a result of the issue of God. Speak clearly, Lord, I pray. Speak clearly to us. And Lord, we will give you our ear. We will give you our mind and our heart. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for your word today. Bless Brother Ulrey, Lord. Prepare his heart, I pray, for the service tonight. Speak to us, Lord. We thank you for the fivefold ministry, what it means to the bride of Christ. Lord, dismiss us now with your blessing. Keep us in the same spirit of fellowship until we return. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to let you go. Can you get your group together to sing tonight? Wonderful. All right. We're going to let you go. We're going to sing this as we leave this evening here, this morning. Stay in the same mode now. Stay in the same spirit of fellowship. Come back a little bit early and pray. And just trust that God will speak to us. Good to have the Rodettes here today. God bless you. I give my mind. Sister Mom.
you, Lord. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Right. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Right now. Lift my hands. Worship your throne. It's not in trying, but in trusting.